Welcome to the Sustain Nutrition Podcast, Chewing the Fat. Join your hosts, Joe and James, as they share everything they know about mindset, training, nutrition, and self-development, helping you improve with every episode. Now, here are your hosts, Joe and James.
Sustain Nutrition Chewing the Fat, snack sized. So I feel like it was me and Joe were speaking about this the other day, apologizing again for us not putting out enough podcasts, but full transparency, does take a bit of organizing, takes a bit of editing, takes a lot of time to do these podcasts. Obviously, they're all free, so they can't always be a priority. So what I want to do is, I'm sure Joe's on board with this as well, is bring out some snack size editions. So maybe some 5 to 10, maybe 12 minute podcasts. And these could be around various topics that we see. But I want to get some content out to you, aiming to do it each week, just to tickle your fancy and lift your skirts, so to say, as my old granny used to say. So that is the aim moving forward. If we don't have a longer, 20, 30, 40 minute podcast, I'm going to try and throw out one of these snack-sized ones just so you've got something where you can keep on hearing us. So today's topic, we're going to talk about fleas and fat loss. So stick with me on this one. It might sound a little bit strange, but I feel I can promise that it's worth it because I'm not actually even seeing you face-to-face. So I want to go back and I actually tried to find out when this experiment was performed, but even me deep diving into the internet, I couldn't find it. But for an experiment, a scientist put a bunch of fleas in an open jar. Now, obviously, fleas being fleas, they jumped immediately straight out. There's two things that fleas are, I suppose, kind of well known for. Three, I think they drink blood. Let's go for three. They drink blood, they make you really itchy when you think about them. You might be scratching right now. And they can jump really high and really far. So obviously, and I don't know where you get a jar from fleas from. Who knows? Hanging around with the wrong kind of cats. Put the fleas in the jar. As soon as the fleas hit the jar, they jumped out. That wasn't the experiment. It wasn't to see if fleas can jump, because I think that's pretty much a foregone conclusion. The next stage of the experiment was he put a glass lid on top of the jar. Now, the fleas still try to jump out, but they smash their little tiny flea heads on the jar lid. Now, after some time, and again, I couldn't find any specifics, I think it was a day or two, the fleas continued to jump, but they regulated their jump height so that they stopped. They never jumped high enough to bash their heads on the jar lid. Again, this is all very interesting information. James, where are you going with this? Again, please stick with me. Now, the next part of the experiment is a bit where it gets really interesting, because he actually removed the glass lid. Now, you might think that the fleas were like, here's our opportunity, let's jump straight out, but they didn't. They never jumped higher than where the lid was previously. They stayed in the jar, even though they were able to get out of the jar. And you're probably thinking, James, what the hell are you talking about? Why are you talking to me about fleas? Well, the experiment for me, and for a few other reasons, was about beliefs and perceptions. Because the fleas had been, I suppose, physically beaten into not being able to jump at as high as they potentially could. They're like, right, this is literally the glass ceiling. I wonder if that's where the saying comes from. We can't go higher than this, because when we do that, we just get hurt. So they never tried again. This is, again, it's about beliefs and perceptions. And this is where it fits in, I suppose, with our ethos. You know that this podcast is going to be around nutrition. It's going to be around fat loss. It's going to be around mindset surrounding, fat loss, nutrition, and health. This is what I see a lot. And I was actually speaking, this was kind of inspired by a conversation I had with a lady the other day. It was just like, I'm a lost cause I can't do this. I've tried so many times, I always fail. That's you hitting that glass ceiling. And then after that, that's you having the beliefs that are so strong that you stop trying at a certain time. You self-sabotage yourself. And I get it. I totally get it. I understand where this comes from because if you look at it, you go, right, I've done 101 diets. When I get on calls with ladies, like, what have you tried? Everything. It's always the same old suspects, the usual suspects. And if every one of those diets has ended in failure, 100%, I can see where you're coming from going, I can't do this. If every time you were that flea and you jumped up and you banged your head on that glass shard, you'd be like, I can't get out of here. Looks like I can, but I can't get out of here. I've tried loads of times and I can't jump anymore. So I get it. I understand where this is coming from. And if you listen to any of these podcasts, if this is the first podcast, welcome. If it's, your 150th, then you'll know I like a good analogy. I just feel like when you put something in a different perspective, it hits home better. And this is the one I've gone for. Imagine if I told you right now, like, that I can't run a mile. I've tried 101 times and I can never run a mile. You'd be like, okay, James has got some pretty solid evidence there that he can't run a mile. But then if you went, okay, well, how have you tried to run a mile previously? And I'm like, well, I set off at a 4-minute mile pace. So I set off pretty much sprinting out of the blocks. And then another time, I tried sprinting up a mountain. Tried to, run a mile up a mountain. And then one time I actually tried with both my feet tried together. And then the other time, or a few times, I've tried hopping. And then one time I tried to push a car for a mile and I tried to get it done in 7 minutes. Then you'd be like, okay, these weren't very realistic approaches that you had to run this mile. That sounds like what's stopping you. Have you ever tried just to like go, right, I'm just going to run until I complete a mile? Nah, I've done all these weird things instead. And that's what I see with you guys, the people listening, is that you have these crazy attempts. So these 101 diets that I spoke about that you've tried and failed before, the things that are shaping your beliefs, the things that are creating the stories in your mind that you can't do this, when you've tried to do keto or the military diet or a juice cleanse or even Slimming World Weight Watchers, Herbalife, Cambridge, cabbage soup. There'll be people listening to this nodding, going tick, 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 diet bingo. Yep, done all those, full house. That's you trying to run that 4-minute mile pushing a car. It's not that you can't do it, it's that the approach that you took was too hard. The pace that you set off was too quick. That's one reason, So the evidence, the 101 diets that you failed, the evidence that you're using to concrete these beliefs that you can't do it, it's dodgy. It's extremely weak evidence. Because of course you can't complete keto. Because you didn't like eating potatoes. Because you can't do the military diet, because who can eat just an egg and a cracker for lunch? Or what? I can't remember what the rules are. It's nonsense. Now, because you can't eat packet food for the rest of your life. And then when you finish doing that, because it's ridiculously expensive, I'm talking about Cambridge 1-to-1, you can't live on that. And then you go back to doing your old habits. So that's one of the reasons. Then the other huge part of it for me is, well, what happens if that doesn't address why you overeat? And you, again, this is your first podcast. Welcome to the show. If it's not, you've heard us talk about this a million times. It's not about just changing what you eat, it's about changing why you eat. So if keto doesn't address emotional eating, you don't get in from a horrific day at work where people are getting laid off and you've maybe had to sack some of your friends and then your teenage kids being a dickhead, pardon my French, and go like, right, let me get some keto wine out. Let me make some keto chocolates. Like, it just doesn't happen. So if you struggle with consistency, which is why you've not been able to stick to these goals, these diets previously, because of a mindset concern, a behavioral concern, because it's very rarely just a food thing. You know, if that is emotionally eating comfy, and if it is a lack of self-love, lack of self-worth, if it's all or nothing, if it's one of these things, then those diets again don't address that. So it's no wonder that they didn't work for you. It's the wrong tool. It's a tool. But if it didn't work for you, then more than likely it's the wrong tool. You know, another huge reason I see people quitting is because of their unrealistic expectations. Everyone, you know, what's the Peter Kay thing? Like, oh, I lost a stone in a day. And again, I get it. You're in a place of discomfort. You want huge change. But I see, sadly, people quitting because they're not making progress, but they're not making progress fast enough. So those are two huge reasons: either unrealistic expectations of what they can achieve, I want to lose 6 stone, or unrealistic time frames, I want to lose 6 stone in 6 months. And the truth is, being brutally honest, like, you might not be able to achieve that 6 stone loss with the approach that you're willing to take or prepared to take. And it's probably going to take longer than you think it is. That's a big one for me. I'll go on a little side because this has been pretty linear. I've just stuck to what I wanted to say. People will set these lofty goals, but then won't be prepared to do the work together. You know, and I'm not saying anyone listening to this wants to get a six pack, but I've spoken to people previously. Other guys, like, I want to get a six pack. Like, are you willing to do what it takes to get there? Because it's not fun. So if you want a sustainable approach, you know, as we preach, you know, lifestyle changes, then your expectations and results have to match that. What you're able to do, what you're prepared to do, can be two different conversations, because there'll be people who are prepared to do loads, but only able to do some things. And there will be other people that are able to do a ton of things, but only prepared to do some things. That sounds like it could be a different podcast. So I might keep that one. So the reality is, if your previous diets were unrealistic, your expectations were unrealistic, if your previous diet attempts didn't address the reasons why you struggle to be consistent, if they didn't plug the gaps as to where you struggle, then they cannot be held in evidence. So if you've done 101 unrealistic diet attempts that didn't address the main reasons why you can't be consistent, which, you know, are usually, again, like mindset or behavioral coping strategies, then the reality is you've got no failed diets behind you. And I, or we as a company, believe in you. We believe that you can change. There are improvements to be made. It just takes the right approach. Just takes the right approach. And, you know, that's something that we strongly believe we have in Sustained Nutrition. You know, we look at a very holistic approach to you. It's not just about food, it's not just about exercise. It's about self-care. It's about that self-love. It's about coping strategies. It's about positive reframes. It's about looking at situations in totally different ways. Ultimately, it's about becoming a different person. It's about a huge identity change. So that's it. Are you a flea? Hopefully this makes sense. Let me know. I'm always up for some feedback on this one. But just be aware that if you're feel like you stopped trying, if you feel like you self-sabotage due to previous failed diet attempts, you don't have that evidence. You've just been taking the wrong approach, and it's time to take the right approach. And if you want information on that, always feel free to reach out to me and Joe. You can drop us an email, you can find us on Instagram, you can find us on Facebook, you can message us in the group. It's all there for you. You know, we've got a ton of free resources. Obviously, there's 180 or something podcasts that you can listen to that are full of all the right answers. So, other than that, welcome to Sustained Snack Size, and I'll speak to you next week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did and you'd like to help support it, please share it with others. And if you didn't, please feel free to send it to someone you don't like. Until next time.